You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
This isn't your average business podcast, and he's not your average host. This is the James Altucher Show.
So I'm in Denver, Colorado for a very special podcast. We're calling it the Podcast. So I have John McCaskill with me. John, wouldn't you say Denver is pretty much the capital of legal marijuana in the U.S.?
With all respect to Seattle, I think we are the Emerald City. Yeah.
Why do you think? Because now there's like 29 states where it's legal in one form or other.
We've always sort of spearheaded the change. You know, I mean, I know how long it's been medically available in California, but in terms of spearheading industry standards, social consumption use, moving into the rec space.
Was Colorado the first state to be recreational?
Correct. Yeah.
And what from your point did you see happen once Colorado went from medical to recreational? If you believe the naysayers, Colorado must have fallen into total havoc and nobody went to work anymore and everyone was high all the time. Like, what actually happened in Colorado once it became recreational?
Well, everyone's still high all the time, but it's because we're so high elevated. We really helped spearhead the initiative that allowed all of these other states to say, hey, this actually can work, not just from a revenue standpoint, but through the infrastructure. And what we saw was a complete boom, real estate-wise, tourism jumped through the roof. We have still over 1,500 people a day that moved to Colorado, or a week that moved to Colorado, and that has grown the entire state.
So was that different before it was recreational? You didn't have 1,500 people
correct,
a week?
Correct. Yeah. So that's all changed in the last, you know, 4, 5, 6 years now. So it's really a boon for the neighborhoods that have been here, the real estate market, of course, and it's really changed the landscape for which all of us have been doing. Down to this conversation, which we normally wouldn't be having.
Right. Well, what about any negative effects? Like I was reading someplace, I think I was reading in the New York Post earlier today, actually, they looked at the negative consequences of legalizing marijuana. Would you say, and first off, just to back up a second, what makes you an expert?
Well, I'm not. I don't think anyone really is. One of the
You are an expert, by the way. We've had conversations, you know, 1,000 times more than anyone I've ever spoken to.
Well, thank you. Being in and around and having been raised, my family is a sixth generation Coloradan family. So we've really watched this speaking to, you know, certain industries or neighborhoods or communities that have been marginalized by certain booms. We've watched that from the gold era down to the gas era, down to the weed era. Unfortunately, especially with commoditization of housing and real estate, there's been a lot of groups, especially minority groups, that have been marginalized, pushed out due to inflated pricing, especially in real estate. And that has put a lot of pressures on folks in communities to be able to substantiate being in that community. The neighborhood that we're in right now, Five Points neighborhood in the River North Art District, specifically 10 years ago, you wouldn't want to even walk through this neighborhood.
And so what happened?
Well, a lot to do with, you know, real estate boom and a lot of other things that started rolling into that. And I think cannabis was one of the really main drivers around that.
So cannabis became legal. It suddenly became this multi-billion dollar industry in Colorado with other states now legalizing it recreationally. And I don't even know. I guess California just made it recreational. And in Las Vegas, it's recreational. I don't know if all over Nevada, but in Las Vegas, at least, it's recreational. So is that going to affect, will Colorado start to slip again?
It has been. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can't really stop the momentum once it started. A lot of folks that are continuing to come here for the reasons of quality of life, The weather, obviously, is always a factor, education, and jobs. And that can follow through the oil and gas path, that can follow through the cannabis path, and all of the tangential things that happen around industry. And Colorado is going to continue to do this. However, in cannabis, we're watching that number drop dramatically, and we're seeing, you know, a flattening of that marketplace due to other regions activating.
Do you think it'll, like, do you think people still will come to Colorado as sort of like this was the first place? So I still see, you know, marijuana tourism. Everyone says, oh, go to Colorado. But I guess they'll start saying, go to Las Vegas.
Well, yeah. And, you know, Vegas has a good feather in their cap because they're the first to allow medical cards to be accepted from anywhere in the U.S. So that's a good reason. I'm a medical card holder. Now I know if I feel the need to go to Vegas, I would go and I'd be able to get cannabis for, you know, the rates that they offer.
And so before we get into kind of the economics and the industry, why are they legalizing it? Like, what? Why did they make it? Why was marijuana always illegal and alcohol legal? You know, from what I understand, you can correct me if I'm wrong. There's no toxic dose of cannabis, of marijuana. There's obviously toxic doses of alcohol. People die every day from alcohol. And there are a lot of studies showing, you know, marijuana could be used to reduce anxiety, depression. Again, I don't know how accurate those studies are, but it seems like there's hundreds of those studies. Why was marijuana illegal in the first place with alcohol legal?
If you go back nearly 100 years, there was back East Coast days, the paper industry was really the booming industry. They were the ones with the lobbyists. They were the ones in politicians' pockets. And there was one particular newspaper man, which name is going to miss on me right now, but basically as part of a campaigning stunt in order to boost his own profits, he used the what we know now as kind of the Reefer Madness era. Really began the removal of hemp, removal of cannabis, and really he was trying to support pushing alcohol to the forefront as well. And so that pushed everything aside, and they used, they being the newspaper industry in general, used these marginalized communities, specifically people of color, and pushing those folks away. So it spoke to immigration issues, fear-mongering around that topic.
But let me ask, and sorry if I interrupt, let me ask, So hemp was being used to make paper, but this guy wasn't using hemp, or his lobbyists weren't using
Correct.
Hemp to make paper.
Correct.
So, and since hemp is made from the marijuana plant, he said, why don't we just get rid of this and throw it in with, you know, make it like a drug that's dangerous or something like that. And so that kind of eliminated.
One hit, you'll go crazy.
Right. And so that eliminated competition in the paper industry.
Correct.
But why was he pushing alcohol?
Advertisements. At that time, we were watching the resurgence, of one of the most dominant, most powerful and impactful substances in our country that we've ever seen, which is alcohol. I mean, outside of oil, if we're going to go there.
And then what was the effect on minorities? Like, why did this, where did minorities come into play here?
It's like this age-old thing politically where you're looking at immigration policies, fear-mongering against communities that are completely segregated and the folks that could afford to get those papers and were around that, unless you were really in a major city like New York or something like that, you never saw people of color in certain areas. It was always a demonizing effect. And so that really helped to segregate the marketplaces.
Were people of color smoking marijuana and white people drinking alcohol? Like, was it segregated along those lines?
I don't think specifically, but if you look to the areas where the pulp industry was really going strong, which was in the South, you look at any of the areas in the North area, we're still speaking about North and South in this day and age, you know, you're seeing those are majority and still today white-owned businesses. And so you're looking at a huge socioeconomic standard. The anthropology studies that are out there are pretty specific about how one gentleman in particular named Marty Otanya is here at Denver University, probably the foremost expert on social anthropology. You should check out his podcast for sure. He's got some great stuff on Denver Open Media.
And so marijuana was made illegal. Now, 100 years later, why do you think now it's coming up that it should be legal?
Well, we're in a crisis on all facets here in this country. The United States has had problems for the last several hundred years, and now they're doing things. But the opioid crisis, which is now a crisis because it's affecting white communities, you're looking at the heroin crisis because it's now affecting white communities. And with the sharing of information, your podcast alone and as many hands and ears as that touches, it's sort of an open marketplace. And now people that know the truth about what actually is available that isn't dangerous or toxic to their bodies, they're going back to what's natural, which comes from the earth. Why do we demonize all of these things that grow out of the ground, but we don't demonize the things that are all driven by marketplaces?
So, like, for instance, compare tobacco and marijuana. Like, it seems like almost a no-brainer. Why is tobacco, which they even have to say this causes cancer or whatever it is they have to say on the label, why is that legal and marijuana has been illegal? Does marijuana cause cancer as far as you know?
Well, that's the difficult part. It's because they've made it federally illegal. Certain studies and validated, I'm using quotation marks, validated industries that support the tobacco industry and basically make synthetics that affect your dopamine system, that affect your mental capacity, and also the lung health that comes out of all this. So once the machine gets behind that, it's very difficult to get people to kick these things. You know, look at people trying to get rid of their car right now. I mean, they want to get off oil and gas, but like, good luck. And so the hemp industry, the cannabis industry really has this tight core nucleus right now of this is how we really need to be growing this before big pharma gets involved, before big tobacco gets involved, because the majority of the population that's out there that still believes the hype around meat reefer madness, that hasn't had it be legalized yet, the second that the right lobbyists get in the right politicians' pockets, we're going to see unilaterally a descheduling of some sort, probably within the next couple of years. And as soon as it's available on the counter, people won't care what it is as long as it's being sold to them. So I think the important message with a lot of this is to continue the momentum and the education around how cannabis in all of its forms, not just the THC versions, but the CBD versions.
And then there's hybrid versions, right?
There's hybrid versions that can, you know, affect things such as they just passed 2 weeks ago in Colorado. Cindy Sauvin is one of the major cannabis lobbyists here in Colorado and in the country. She helped push forward an initiative that allowed CBD to be administered to children who suffer from epilepsy. We're having kids having seizures in the middle of school. It could be solved by just giving them something that's got CBD in it. And it 100% of the time is working on some of these patients.
So I've read it helps soften the effects of chemotherapy, it reduces anxiety, it helps with sleeping, you know, as opposed to taking, you know, Xanax or one of these other pills that are very addictive. I'm naive, so I'm just quoting this New York Post article this morning. It says something I didn't know. It says you could get potentially addicted to marijuana. Is that true?
Well, I mean, there's going to be dopamine effects for depending on what people need versus what they're trying to get. If that people are seeking a high, obviously we know that if you smoke THC, marijuana, cannabis, that's going to get you high. You have to remember that the cannabinoid system is something that already exists in our body. It's like the vitamin C's, the vitamin D's, the vitamin B's. These are vitamins that are already in our body. They get excited by injection of certain foods. The cannabis plant is no different than this. So essentially what we're looking at is finding ways to explain this and educate folks on how this can be something that can work for them. But until the research is had in the way that we know the research around so many other topics, we're just not going to know. And the challenge that the cannabis industry has right now is being able to educate from a stance that most of the research that's been done out there is coming from industry. And so there's a lot of disconnect in, I think there's only one university in Texas, and the guy's only been allowed to test one form of CBD or cannabinoids that are out there. There's like over 300 of them that exist, and we only know like 6 or 7 of them right now. And so there's things that if we know in the same way from a Western medicine standpoint that we could put that research into, that's how we can find ways to help treat ourselves and use a true medicine that comes out of the ground.
But what's your gut? Like, you've seen people now, you work in the industry here, you've seen people come in and out of these dispensaries for years. What's your gut on the effects of marijuana?
Yes, it's totally true. Airbnb has changed my life. If anything, they have made my life so much better. Like, I used to live in Airbnbs. I lived in over 100 or 200 different Airbnbs over a 3-year period, and I loved it. I became a really good guest of Airbnbs, and I got to know lots of hosts. So when I initially owned a house, the first thing I thought was, I'm going to turn my house into an Airbnb because I travel a lot. So why leave my house unused when I can make a side income by letting others Airbnb my house or come to stay in my house as guests? And having my own Airbnb or being a host for Airbnb has allowed me to do just that. And I've met other hosts. I've actually spoken at Airbnb's host conference. I think it was in 2017. I met so many just nice hosts. It's a great community. And I love, you know, turning my own home into an Airbnb. Like, I'm traveling to Austin next month. My home's going to be an Airbnb while I'm away, and I'll stay in an Airbnb. I'd rather stay in like a 3-story house Airbnb than in one tiny hotel room in the middle of Austin during South by Southwest. So listen, while you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who are just letting their house sit empty, who've never thought about it or didn't realize their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle and is a great way to earn some extra money. So if you have a home, but you're not always at home, then you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. I remember last year I was asked to go speak at the Norway Business Summit, and I was so excited because side by side with the Business Summit was the Norway Chess Summit, where I would get to see in person Magnus Carlsen, the best chess player ever, playing chess. But it was 4 plane rides, like, to get to the city that ultimately I would go to. So I really did not want to fly for 14 hours, and they were willing to pay for everything for me. So I at first class. So I didn't want to fly for 14 hours and not be first class. So I had to hurry up and get on the phone immediately to get those first class tickets to a chess tournament in Norway. And listen, this is just like when, you know, you have to know when you want the best of anything, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. And I did not want those seats to fill up. So it's like if you're hiring for your business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. I just was talking to a friend this morning where he was trying to decide between some programmers and he waited a little too long, and both the programmers he was interviewing took other jobs, like great jobs. So, you know, what's the best way then to hire the best as quickly as possible? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now you could try it for free at ziprecruiter.com/James. Just try it and see. You'll find out. So ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify the top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I know this because one time I signed up as an employee, potential employee on ZipRecruiter, and I got nonstop. Really, I was, even though obviously I wasn't looking for a job, I love what I do, but I just wanted to see what would happen because they were a sponsor of my podcast. And the most interesting jobs would pop up in my emails like, hey, you're qualified for this or that. And so it's interesting to see. So just go there and try it. Try ZipRecruiter.com/James. Amp up your hiring performance. Now, this is more for if you're hiring, but amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/James. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/James. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
As far as for a social standpoint?
No, from a medical.
Medical standpoint?
And given that you're not an expert on the medical side, but you've seen a lot.
Yeah, I've seen a lot. The average age for most of these medical facilities is right around 37. We're seeing a lot of kids that are coming up that recognize the ability for the cannabis plant to help them in a certain way. And you've got folks that are hooked on pills, hooked on booze, hooked on something, and trying to find a way to lessen or remove themselves from this in a way that's going to help extend their life and live a better quality life. So from my standpoint and what I'm seeing now, I'm very hopeful that, you know, that we're going to continue to see that grow.
What do you think about PTSD among veterans? So like 20 veterans a day kill themselves. And a lot of these guys come back from war and they become alcoholics. Mm-hmm. Does marijuana have any effect on PTSD, do you think?
Yep. We just passed in Colorado a couple months ago. It was the first in the nation to allow for medical marijuana to be, or PTSD to be on the list for medical marijuana, which seems like a no-brainer for these vets that are going across and arms, limbs, and brains. You know, in some way, all these combat vets are affected. We all talk about PTSD when we go through a bad relationship, but you know, a lot of these guys are having, you know, things that they will never be able to unlearn. We actually just finished 2 months ago working on a cannabis health, first of its kind, cannabis health and wellness fair. We partnered with a group called Weed for Warriors. There's a bunch of other derivations of this, but the Mountain State Medical Program is what it is now, that works specifically with combat vets and offering free medicine with support from, you know, organizations like mine, organizations like Rhino Supply that we were just visiting. The Department of Defense is quietly, and I know this through some investor relationships, Department of Defense is actually working on super high doses of CBD to be administered, and this is no THC at all, because the CBD and the cannabinoid system is the only thing with expressed administration allows for traumatic brain injuries to subside, because it's the only thing in the, I'm going to get lost on the medical side here, but it's the only thing that reduces inflammation. So like myself, I look young, but I've got arthritis in both my hands. Starting to use CBD personally has completely subsided.
Do you ingest it?
Yeah. And they've got oils, they've got tinctures, they've got edibles, they've got all the things that we do.
So now in terms of the companies in the space, there's all, like, if you were to guess, it seems like you have the tobacco companies on one side. They're going to certainly take advantage of it of marijuana being legal. And then there's the pharmaceutical companies. If there's medicinal use, they're going to want to kind of patent the compounds or whatever and say, hey, we own this strain of marijuana. Do you kind of see all these, like you mentioned, you know, a couple of companies, including the one around the corner from here. Do you kind of see them eventually being, and a lot of these hundreds of smaller pot companies being acquired by these big, you know, behemoth companies?
Well, I think if you look at the economic pressures that are happening, I mean, that's a certainty. I think lessons being learned in some regard in the companies that want to stick to their values. You can look at something like the craft brew industry, right? Just because Budweiser started, in I think 89, moved to Colorado and started one of the first what was then craft brew experiences. Everyone said, oh, that's the end of the ability for people to do that. Where we're sitting right now is the densest population of craft breweries in the country. And each of those is cideries, breweries, whatever it is, it's got different health benefits, as long as you don't drink too much, typically is a thing. And I would say cannabis is in that same regard. I
mean, so like a Philip Morris or some of these pharmaceutical companies could go in and buy a lot of the smaller marijuana companies, but some still will flourish, like staying true to their their goal and their mission, and maybe they see many more profits in front of them, so they don't want to get sold too quickly.
Yeah, I mean, look at something like the quote unquote green revolution. You know, two decades ago, we all thought, oh great, well it's just kind of been canned. It's a phrase thing at this point. I think cannabis is going to fall into that way in some regard, and there's already a lot of large outside investors that are putting money into certain branded things that are dispensaries, for example, or grow houses, for example.
But eventually they'll want to sell because they want to get their money back.
They want to get their money back, and you know, there's a misnomer out there that like all these pot shops are all making money, and they're just simply not. I mean, they're taxed at an average rate in Colorado of 76.5%. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you didn't make a dollar, basically. And so as the market continues to grow into other marketplaces, as you start seeing that cost of cannabis drop, you're going to see a bunch of these shops close down or get bought up. And those that, you know, have good business practices and, you know how to do what they do, they're going to continue to flourish.
And do you see anything happening like how Starbucks started in Washington and expanded to California and Oregon and then gradually expanded to the country and the world? Do you see anything like that happening among any of the smaller pot companies?
Yeah, it's already happening today. I mean, I'm not going to name names today, but we can pick in a dozen of the dispensaries that are growing here. And those are the ones that first open up in Washington, first open up in Nevada and all around. Unfortunately, I think that's sort of the nature of the economic beast. It's just people are going to want to make money and get out, or they're going to want to make money and want to manipulate that. But it's really going to come down to people being educated. It all will come down to education. You know, stop telling the kids that cannabis is evil. You know what I mean? These types of things. We don't see that from the alcohol side. We don't see that, although they put it reluctantly on all their boxes. You see that on tobacco, but you don't hear a lot of this, what we grew up with, being touted that way for cannabis. And I think it's important that the education piece continues to do that.
Do you think it'll happen? I guess now that it's being made legal everywhere, more studies will start happening in universities.
Yeah, I mean that's it's going to take a descheduling. At some point, a rescheduling or descheduling off of that, that, you know, right now cannabis is looked at in the same regard legally as like heroin, which is ludicrous.
Yeah, like when Colorado made marijuana legal recreationally, what happened to the people who were in Colorado prisons who were put in jail for marijuana crimes?
They have not been aggressive at rescinding those, as other states are starting to do.
That's a big cost on the prison system.
Well, it's a cost on the prison system, it's a cost on the community. And if you look at the numbers, it's largely people of color, percentage-wise. And that has devastating effects economically, socially, and culturally, and how people are perceiving these things to be in this way. You know, Ohio is a great example. They've got this massive opioid addiction, but they've made it so difficult to attain or get cannabis. People are still looking at it as like, well, that's just something these people do, pointing to people of color or different minority groups or different cultures.
Do you think Trump's for or against legalizing marijuana?
Well, he has the Trump card right now, so it's difficult to say. thanks. Coming from you. Yeah. I think that we've seen a mirroring type of political landscape with the president currently, in that if you look at his past leading up until this presidency, pretty much everything that he said that he's going to do is against what he was doing before. So he has said outright that he's not going to pursue things, even though the attorney general that he picked said that he was going to.
His base is probably more for states' rights, which is so states legalizing things.
Well, yeah, and then you look at the political landscape and the states that, you know, he needs to garner support in. You know, one of Colorado's dirty secrets is that really the main driver here is oil and gas. But in order to win the state, you're not going to push back against a section or a marketplace that's producing $1 billion in tax revenue. Mm. And so these types of things annually, right? Mm. So states, most of these states are not, you know, well run. There's a lot of bureaucracy. One of the kind of shining examples, whether it's intentional or not, the Trump administration is showing that the federal level is a fractured, injured, sort of worthless piece. And if you start looking at developments like cryptocurrency, realization that in education around cannabis and kind of coming back to the ground level and actually talking to our neighbors about this stuff, I'm hopeful that, you know, we're going to see that probably descheduling or rescheduling happen sooner than later.
Well, Ray, what's the name of your organization? How can people find out more about you and what you do?
Yes, well, we are a sort of creative supply shop. I am the owner, and I call myself the custodian of Megafauna. We're located in Denver, Colorado. We work against all things that are sort of mass-produced, but we really want to make an availability for local creative enterprise and continuing to grow that experience, whether it's through sourcing projects like this, throwing support and resourcing and kind of being that agent that's, you know, able to help local communities and in the creative space.
And you're making a living doing it?
I have been for 17 years now.
That's excellent. Before it was legal recreationally, but it was legal medically.
Correct. Yeah.
All right, it's good.
Been a lot of changes.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
The podcast. So, well, I appreciate you having me on, and it's been great to meet you. I look forward to seeing you again.
Yeah, nice meeting you. Thanks. All right. Good. Thank you.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.